All right, folks, it's good to be here. Amen. Good to have everybody with us. We're going to plunge in to the deep. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge, the book of Hosea says, and we live in a time of deception that has unprecedented, without doubt, it is unprecedented. And we need to be warned, prepared, and ready for what's coming down the road, because it's already here. Father, in Jesus' name, give me wisdom, give me the gift of teaching. Our Father, give us hearts, Lord, that can receive the truth and then ears to hear it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last week now we talked about this website and this young lady that has embraced all kinds of, best term to use for it is wild speculation. But it's based upon a lot of things that have happened in the past. When I got on her website, began to do some research and nose around a little bit, it didn't take me long to find out that she has an enormous amount of material. Did anybody get on that website? Some folks asked me for her name, and I gave her name out after the service, and I wonder if anybody got on there and did your own research. Well, in any event, she has an enormous amount of material available. And first thing that struck me was, now did she create all this? Because this was a lot of work, a lot of research to do all this. So I did a little digging, and didn't take long to find out that she wasn't original with very much of it at all. As a matter of fact, I guess if I laid it all out and checked the sources on it, I'd find out that the only thing she's original with would be her own take on it, her own spin, in other words, what she says that she believes. The source for all this material is not original research on her part. The original research has been done long ago. And a lot of the material is available online if you want it. It's available in book form if you'd like to get a hold of it. All this stuff's out there, been out there for a long time. Now, how many of you this morning believe that Satan is a very smart enemy? Do you believe that he was bluffing when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he showed him the kingdoms of the world, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time? This was not an illusion. If you do not believe for a moment, do you, that the Lord Jesus Christ could be duped into an illusion? No, what he saw was real, and what the Satan presented to him was real, and he had the ability to give what he said. He said, it's been delivered to me, and I can give it to whomsoever I will, and it had been. It's a separate study of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and we'll have to do the separate study on that, but that takes way too much time to deal with that as it relates to what we're talking about this morning. But if Satan has the power to project past, present, future, the kingdoms of the world before the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that this creature has enormous power. He has enormous power. And having that kind of power and that kind of intellect, which he unquestionably does, because the Bible says that he takes captive at his will, he takes captive anybody on this earth who's not born again, because you have no defense against him. The only defense a born-again believer has against Satan is the indwelling Holy Spirit, because that's the one that's greater in you than the one that's in the world. So the mantle of deception is falling rapidly, and it is accelerating. It's accelerating. And it's falling so quickly now that it's almost impossible to keep up with it. Now, how many of you are aware of the fact that a federal representative of the state of Arizona has been shot with an attempted assassination yesterday? I guess it was yesterday morning out there in Arizona. I believe it was Tucson, Arizona. And the killer, who is a killer because he killed six other people, intended to assassinate this woman. He shot her right through the head. And it's only by the grace of God she's alive right now. I mean, it's been called a miracle by the doctors. I heard one doctor say this is a miracle And he said only the Almighty could do something like this. And so she's alive. But in any event, I'll be bringing that in my message this morning and tying it in with what's going on. But the bottom line is that this didn't happen in a vacuum. Nothing happens in a vacuum. There's something going on. There is something behind this. There is something behind what's happening. And we need to, as we are not children of the night or children of the day, we need to find out what's going on. So let's go back and look at some of the things that this woman says that she believes. And while we do that, then we're going to tie in some of the stuff that's happening right now. She says that she believes that the Apostle Paul was a false prophet. And that, of course, when she does this, by saying that the Apostle Paul is a false prophet, that she throws out the biggest majority of the New Testament. And you all understand that. And by throwing out the biggest majority of the New Testament, you throw out the one who taught the 90% of the doctrines that the New Testament is built upon. It's that simple. And of course, when I said the 90% of the doctrines that the New Testament is built upon, I'm talking about 90% of the doctrines that the church of the New Testament is built upon. And she throws that out. And of course, I've yet to find the authority for that. She has no authority for it. It's all just a matter of her whims and fanciful ideas. She has no authority. And you know, if you want to live in Alice in Wonderland and La La Land, you can go around and throw things out and say this is not true and this and that and so forth until you're blue in the face, but it doesn't change the facts. It doesn't change reality. The truth of the matter is that the Pauline epistles have been accepted from day one by born-again believers all the way back to the first century, all the way back to the time of Origen Adamantius, who lived 150 years after Christ, all the way back to the time of Polycarp and Ignatius, and all the way back to the first century, the Christians have accepted verbatim the Pauline epistles as the Word of God. They've accepted it, and I'm talking about believers. And then when it was all brought together in a canon of Scripture, and we had finalized 27 books of the New Testament, these books were accepted as canonical Scripture, and they rejected the very books that she accepts as Scripture, or as inspired, or whatever she wants to call it, to do away with the authority of the Word of God. Now, what's going on here, though? What's going on? What's the bottom line? What's happening, see? Let's not look at what's going on. What's motivating this? What's the purpose in all of this? What's the purpose in throwing out two-thirds of the New Testament? What would the purpose of that be? Well, number one, it would be to destroy your faith in the Bible. Number two, it would be to call attention to her and say, well, this woman must have some source of authority that's greater than the Bible. Number three, you become a disciple of this woman and begin to follow in what she teaches. And the path she has gone down is a very scary path. And we're going to get into it in just a moment. Now, how many of you believe in evil spirits? Church I got saved in, they didn't know what an evil spirit was. That's sad to say. I'm not saying all of them were like that, but a lot of them were. They live in this religious quasi world, this la-la land, this goody-two-shoes, be good to everybody, religious world. And they have no touch with reality. But evil spirits, demonic spirits, the Greek word is daimon, daimonion is the noun form of it, is an evil, wicked spirit, unclean spirit. Where do they come from, preacher? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But the fact that they are evil spirits is good enough for me. Good enough for me to know they're intelligent spirits. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you believe that everything physical came from an invisible spirit being? In plain words, you can go back to a time when if you were there, say you were the only one there, and you looked out and there was nothing to look at. Nothing to see. Nothing. Nothing. And then all of a sudden everything came into existence and you still didn't see the one who brought it into existence. It just appeared. That's exactly what's going on in the book of Genesis. It just appeared. There's not one word in the book of Genesis that said God appeared. It just says that he said, let there be. And it happened. This invisible, eternal spirit being brought into being everything physical that exists. Now, do you believe that an eternal spirit, invisible being, therefore could father a child. See, when you put it in different terms, it makes you think, doesn't it? But I'm saying exactly what the Bible says. When Gabriel said, this holy thing is of the Holy Ghost. He was born of God, all right? Born of the Spirit, begotten of the Spirit. That's why he's called the first fruits, firstborn. All right. But then again, that raises an issue here because it brings into question something that makes you think. And what is that? An invisible spirit being can bring into life a physical being. Right? Exactly. No source otherwise than that. And of course, God's the author of life. No life exists apart from Him. Can't exist. No life originated or existed apart from Him. He's the source of all life. He's the Father of life. Life comes from Him and goes to Him. It's that simple. That's what Paul said in the last verse in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. It says, all things are of Him, by Him, through Him, to Him. So, then we have in Romans, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, it said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. These are spirit beings. The big controversy is what's going on here, but I personally believe that they cohabited with women, and I believe that children were born, and I believe the children born were giants. And I believe the giants that were born of these of this illicit union are the heroes of Greek mythology and Roman mythology and Hindu mythology and all the rest of the mythologies of the earth. I believe that these giants that were born back there in the book of Genesis comprised the gods of the pagan world. I believe that. I also believe that in the last days that more deception is going to come down on people than they've ever imagined in their life. And that demonic activity is going to take a form like people have never seen before. The demonic activity in the past has usually been in the form of possession, foaming at the mouth, speaking in a language they don't even know, possessed by another spirit being, things like supernatural strength and all kinds. Then all of the stuff that's associated with clairvoyance and telekinesis and all of this stuff. And even the marked psychologist in this country. I saw this the other day, just got a bit of it. He's either a psychiatrist or psychologist here in America who is a renowned, well-respected in his field, has come out and said that there is validity to extrasensory perception, ESP. How many caught what I just said? In other words, there's a sense that they have, that some people have, where they can contact. But what's going on? It's the demon world, folks. They're a lot smarter than you give them credit for. And this young man that murdered six people yesterday was head over heels in it. You haven't heard much about that from the news media. I'll talk about that when we get to preaching this morning. There's something going on. There's some heavy-duty stuff out there. But these demons have created a world, a whole world of creatures that is so interconnected and so mystical and so powerful in their ability to suck people into this world that there's a whole system out there that deals with it, that it's passed from one group to the other. They've even got names for all of these creatures. Now, you've commonly heard reference to aliens. You've heard reference to flying saucers or unidentified flying objects. You've seen movies that relate to that stuff. Some folks dismiss that and say, well, that's just a bunch of bunk. There is no such thing as that. But there are countless thousands and thousands of people on this earth that have been witnesses of these things. And there are countless thousands and thousands of photographs that have been taken, even to the point of videos of all this stuff. And I'll say to this right now, I do not believe for one minute that a UFO has anything to do with some little green man that's coming from some other planet. I believe it is a reality. I believe it's a physical reality. I believe it's a manifestation. I believe it has a purpose. Our purpose here as the Church of God is to find out where this stuff's headed, how it's deceiving people, and know what to counter it with. That's what we're here for. That's what we're about. We're not up here this morning to sensationalize anything and give the devil any kind of credit for anything apart from who he is. I'm not up here today to excite you and get you interested in the occult world and stuff like that. That's not what I'm here for. But it doesn't do you one bit of good to go to a church where all they do is sing about the holy days and they hang pretty stuff from their windows and sing pretty songs in their choir, and everybody's goody-two-shoes to each other. And the minute they walk out that back door, they're nothing but a screaming devil for the next 6 days till they come back and put on their religious face again that day. That's the kind of stuff that goes on. That's not going to do you any good. It's not going to help you. So what's going on? Well, it's heavy. It's deep. And this woman right here is head over heels into it. She got sucked into it big time. She got some elements of the truth. And that's always the worst deception. The worst deception is not a bold-faced lie. The worst deception is truth and error mixed together. That's always the worst deception. That's always the worst deception. Did the devil lie when he told them what would happen to them when they ate that fruit? No, but he mixed error with it. He said, you shall be as gods. Giving them a status that they didn't have, they thought they'd have. What were they? Well, they weren't like God. They weren't as God. Sure, they knew the difference between good and evil, but it destroyed them because they couldn't handle it. So this woman has drunk deep from this well. And because she has, look what it's done to her now. Look what it's done. She has drunk deep from this well of getting into all of these creatures, and I'm going to name a few of them here in a moment, all of this spiritual world that's out there, all of this fanciful stuff that's been created by demons. She's gotten into it, and first thing she did was throw Paul out. She threw out 2/3 of the New Testament. See? You'll know a tree by the what? Not its profession, but its fruit. She threw out 2/3 of the New Testament. It's gone. She has now, she demonizes, for the most part, most Christians. Demonizes them. Says that we are demon-possessed because we believe in a Jesus. She doesn't like that name, Jesus. She throws it out and goes back and pulls up a Hebrew name in the Old Testament. And so now what's she done? Well, here's what she's done. She has created confusion as to the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's created confusion. God is not the author of confusion. What happens if you're confused about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, she's not alone in this. These new dictionaries that are coming out that you can buy in these religious bookstores out here have confused Lucifer with the day star and the bright morning star and son of the morning with the son of God. There's a confusion in there. They're confusing people. They're not certain. Well, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Satan is a Christ. He is an anointed one. He is the anointed cherub that covereth. So here we see Satan's hand directly at work. We see the fruits of what's going on here. She says, these things I believe. She is demonizing the Jewish people. She's demonized Jews. Mark it down in your book. Anytime you find somebody that demonizes the Jewish people, you're coming from Satan. Amen. Say, why? Well, what's her position on Israel? The position this woman takes is that we're here to celebrate the feast days. That we are the Israel of God. That those people over there who are call themselves Jews are nothing but imposters. Then she's brought an admixture into the gospel of grace. She has confused the manner of salvation. Look at it. Look at the confusion she's instilled in your heart. When she says, Paul taught grace. You're not saved by grace. You're saved by loving Jehovah through Yeshua. You're saved because you love Him and you keep His commandments and you observe the feast days and the Sabbaths and all of this. See what she's done? She's brought all this stuff in and she's destroyed the only way a man can be saved. For by grace are you saved. Do you know why I say that? Because I know humanity. Now watch how she does this though. She says, I believe the Jews governing Israel today are the fake Khazar Jews and serpent seed line. Now here she brings in another element. The serpent seed line. What's that? Anybody tell me this morning? We mentioned it before. Yes, sir.
Talking about his future.
He said, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. All right? So he said right there that the serpent had seed, as the woman had seed. All right? Now, for a moment, we look at that. Just a moment. Who or what is the seed of the woman? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's look a little closer. Where did the seed come from? Pardon? What kind of seed was it? Pardon? I know that, but I mean in essence. A man's seed that is passed from generation to generation is a physical living thing. All right? That's the seed of a man, all right? But the seed of the woman, what kind of seed is that? Okay. Where is its origin? What was its product? It originated from an eternal spirit being, but it was certainly physical, or there could have been no physical birth. That's the incarnation. All right. She attacked that. She attacked the incarnation because she says the idea of a God-man is a pagan idea. And I couldn't get enough of the reading. Didn't have enough time because I had so much other stuff I wanted to research. I couldn't get a hold of how she defines the Lord Jesus Christ. I want people to define what they say. What do you mean? That's what the word semantics has to do with. I say blue, you say blue, but blue to you may not be blue to me. I say up, you say up, but up to you may not be up to me. You say, well, up is up. Not in this generation. Not today. But I want her to define what she means. If he's not the God-man, then who is he? See what I mean? Is he the God-man? Was the man-child, Revelation 12, that was born 2,000 years ago of the Virgin Mary, was he God? Then he was he man? Then he's the God-man. All right, he's the God-man. She didn't like that doctrine. All right. But where did that seed come from? All right. Does not the prophecy of the Old Testament say, a body hast thou prepared for me? Does it say that, Brother Lee?
Yes, sir.
Thou hast prepared for me a body. See, you're digging a little deeper, but you're getting into the source of what's going on here. All right. So that seed of the woman, of course, the woman, the seed did not originate in the woman, but the seed of the woman, which means the seed that came from the woman, in the sense the one born of her, originated in a spirit world. You see where I'm leading you? Okay. So the seed of the serpent, is that a literal seed? Could that literally be something that comes upon this earth? Does not the Bible says in the book of Daniel that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men? Certainly it does. So what does she have? She's got an element of the truth. She has an element of the truth. Problem is, you've got to watch the application of that. See what you get a hold of? Truth's truth. But be careful how you apply it. See what I mean? So the seed, there is a reality to the seed of the serpent. Here's the application of it. She says that Eve had relations with the devil. And from that was born Cain, and that Cain's lineage has been the serpent seed, and she's not original with that. Make no mistake about it. She's not original with that. That's been around a long time, and that this serpent seed is the springboard for the demonic activity and manifestations that's going on today. Okay, all right. That's her application of it. That's what she says. Now, you remember I mentioned to you about reptilian. How many remember that? All right. All right. What is a reptilian? And I'm not saying a reptile. We know what a reptile is, right? Okay. What is a reptilian when we refer to these to reptilian beings? They're aliens, right? Okay. They're aliens. This is this world we're talking about. Okay. Now, don't you think with me for a moment. Let's say, for example, These kids sitting on the front row down here, they're looking right up at me. They've never seen anything. Let's think for a minute now that, let's say for a minute, you got all this stuff under your belt, all right? And you've been reading all this stuff, and you've been digging into all this stuff, and the truth is that you're going to get a hold of elements of the truth. It's the way you apply it's the problem, see? But you get into all this, and then you go out and you ask some average church member, you know, that's just a good old goody-two-shoes churchgoer, and start firing questions at them. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Immediately you've said to yourself, I have superior knowledge to you. You don't even know what's going on. That's what does that build? There you go. Somebody got it right off the bat. P-R-I-D-E, capital embossed letters, underline them, and put a flashing sign, neon sign. Make them neon and let them flash. Pride, 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 pride. Exactly. Pride, pride. That's what the book says. So she's talking about the Khazar Jews are the seed serpent seed line. Now I want to show you something here. I found this week. That's pretty thick, isn't it? All right. These are the known types of aliens and races. I've got 34 pages of them that I printed off. And all the descriptions that go with them. I'll read a few of them for you. Okay. Now remember, she's not original with this. In fact, this came from her website, but you can get on, you can take this stuff and you can run it on the web, and you'll find a lot of people that don't even agree with her that believe this too. You've got Alpha Draconians, Altarians, Amphibians, the Anakim, the Agharians, the Andromedans, the Anunnaki, the Antartitians, the Atlans, the Biovelans, Bigfoot, he's even in here, Bernarians, Boeotians, Burrowers, and on and on and on and on. And each one has a paragraph or two. One has a couple of pages attached to it that tells you about where you find them, and what they are, you know, and how they're deceiving people, and how they appear, and what they're doing in the spirit world, and how that they're manifesting themselves now, and all this stuff that's going on. Now, if I took time to read all this, and I didn't read all of it, I skimmed through a lot of stuff, but if I took time to read all that stuff, by the time I got through there, I'd be ready for the funny farm. I would be. I'd be there, wouldn't I? I'd be there. I'd be screaming, running through the woods. I'd think to myself, good night, man, where have I been? How come I haven't already been consumed with all this stuff going on around me? What's going to happen to me? But here's the bottom line. Every bit of this is demonic. Okay. Now, if I'm going to deceive you into receiving me, and I am a unclean, evil, wicked spirit, do you think I'm going to let you know that's what I am?
No,
sir. No. How does the devil work? Because the Bible teaches clearly what he does in the New Testament. He comes as an angel of light. You know, he doesn't come across as what he really is. So neither do these. And the point is, they want to get your mind first. If they can get your mind and get you involved in this stuff and get you to think, man, the more of this I learn, the more power I'm going to have. The more I'm going to understand what's going on, because they offer power. There's a lot of power offered here, you see. Pride is built on that. And they'll suck you in even further. And what happens is, of course, is that you get pulled in so far that you lose complete control of yourself. And you think you're in control of yourself, but you're not. That's when you're in total possession. That's what happens to people. It can happen to people. They can take a 9mm Glock and kill 6 people with it. That's what happened out there in Tucson, Arizona. And you can get sucked into something and not realize while it's happening. Now, is there a reality to this? Yes. This is real. This is not made up stuff. This is real. Are people having contact with this world? Yeah. It warns us. Are there in the world high echelons of people who have enormous wealth and power that are in this? See that? See how fast you answered that? So what's going on? Would it be what you'd call a conspiracy? See, right now they're looking for another killer out there in Tucson, Arizona. If there is another killer in Tucson, Arizona, it becomes a conspiracy. See, they conspire with another. If it's a lone wolf, then it's not a conspiracy. All right. So you believe that there is a conspiracy? Look at the book of Psalms. Chapter number 2. Psalm chapter number 2, verse 2. Psalm 2:2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel, that's conspiracy, against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, there is a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy. How far down does that conspiracy go, and how deep does it go? It goes all the way to the educational system. The moment they get your children into the public school system, they begin to brainwash them. Does that mean all the teachers in the public school system are consciously in agreement with a conspiracy? No. No question about many Christian school teachers. No question about that. But the whole system itself is built on a conspiracy. They're going to kick God out. They've done it incrementally through the courts. They're doing it with intimidation. They do it with social pressures. They're going to kick him out. And while the church sits by and... Boy, we had a good meeting last night, didn't we? Oh, so-and-so, she was so pretty yesterday. Blah, 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 blah. I get so, you know, I really am about to throw up from religion. She says that the Jews are a counterfeit. I believe the New World Order and Zionism are mere forms of Satanism and working together to lead the world into the worship of Satan and paving the way for the arrival of Antichrist. Now, she about 90% right. Okay? See the truth? I believe that aliens and UFOs are fallen angels and will fulfill Joel 2 and Revelation chapter 9 in the last days. My. Okay? Here's a woman who has been drawn right into it, doesn't realize that by throwing out her Bible, throwing out the Christ of the Bible, throwing out salvation by grace, throwing out the truth, and yet embracing this, and then turns around and spins it in her own way and gives forth some elements of the truth. That's the way she pulls in the unwary. I believe that America is the last days Babylon, prophesied in Revelation chapter number 18. How many of you believe that? A few of you do. Every year, the Super Bowl, and I remember the first one, I remember the first Super Bowl, and it wasn't a big deal. It really wasn't. But the Super Bowl now has become a god to a lot of people, and the churches have capitulated and thrown their doors open and put up giant screens so the people can see the Super Bowl. Now, they must have some technology in these churches. They've got to have some kind of technology in there that does away with the advertisements, the commercials. ESPN has a commercial now of a bunch of, you know, these big name sports casters and all the rest of them, you know, the idols of the sports world. And they're all engaged in this thing where they're all drinking, and they got all these naked women around them, and they got all this stuff going on, and they're just having the biggest time like you wouldn't believe. And I don't know what in the world they're advertising. I don't have a clue what's going on. This kind of stuff is going on right there. And I think to myself, this filth is being pumped out now by sports. Sports, see? When the Super Bowl shows up this year, and they pay millions and millions and millions of dollars for advertisement on the Super Bowl, they're going to have this stuff. They're going to be pumping this stuff into the minds of the people. But what do these churches do? Do they watch it? They have the Super Bowl one week and revival the next. You know, spring and fall revival. How many of you been to churches like that? Well, it's time for the spring revival. Who are we going to have? Or it's time for the fall revival. Who are we going to have? Why don't they say it's time for church? Do you know what a revival is for? A revival is when God has to come into a church and do something to change that church. Because that church has drawn and drifted away from the truth. And allowed the power of hell to come into that church and strip it of its identity and strip it of its foundation and strip the people of their joy and their power. That's what a revival's for. So they just plan to do it twice a year. Folks, I've been in this thing a long time. The stuff that some people don't even think about, it eats me up night and day because I've watched it over and over and over and over again. Yes, sir. A negative revival, in what sense again now?
I work with a lot of children.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. The church has one source of life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost will never. He will never bless a church that does not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't happen. It won't happen. And you can get the biggest name preachers to come in and have the biggest revival put together you can find and send out flyers to the ends of the earth. And there will be no revival because you have denied the Holy One. Yes, sir. Yeah. And things happened. Well, I've got a book in my office. I got it about 25 years ago. A fellow wrote the book's real good. He said, revivalism and revival. Okay? Revivalism has to do with what I'm talking about. Twice a year, schedule meeting. Revival, he said, comes from God. It's a movement of God. It's a real movement of God, and God alone can do that. Yes, ma'am. That's where we are now, ma'am. I fully agree with you. 20 years ago, they could have been revived. But there's nothing left to revive. Yes, ma'am, I agree. Yes, sir. I had a young man send me his testimony on my prayer page. I got it last night. I updated the prayer page last night, and he sent his testimony from Ohio. And you'll hear it in a few minutes. It's blessed me. It's one of the most remarkable things I've heard in a long time. It's quite a thing. God's still working out there. He is. He is. Thank God for this church reaching out beyond these four walls. Folks, this church is reaching out to a lot of people beyond these four walls. That little booth back there in that corner that streams these broadcasts on live over the internet, you'll only know at the day of the judgment seat of Christ that how many people have been helped and reached through that ministry right back there. Probably far more people have been helped through that little pack line right back there to the internet than have been helped inside this building right here, because it reaches a lot of people. It reaches a lot of people. And we get response. They're watching. And I'm talking about internet. I'm not talking about TV here. I'm talking about the internet, the web. Brother Lee dismisses.